The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR cars, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big Saturday all across the SPFL. Rangers are looking to reopen a 5-point lead against Motherwell before Celtic head to Hearts tomorrow. Neil Warnock's Aberdeen really could be doing with a win, but St Mirren will have other ideas in Paisley, and Dundee, Kilmarnock, Hibs, Ross County and St Johnston Livy make up the Saturday card for Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
So Clement wants the Rangers fans to remain in their seats until the end of the game against Motherwell as a mark of respect to the Rangers players, but it's Motherwell staying power that's the important question to be answered at Ibrox this afternoon. Rangers are rampant, Motherwell in for a long afternoon. Meanwhile, the most intriguing game, St Mirren Aberdeen, Neil Warnock. No wins in five league matches for the Dons, but he has been given a tactical masterclass by none other than Gordon DL on the motorway, because he ran into the Aberdeen team bus. Not literally, but metaphorically. And finally, Partick Thistle Dundee United in our area at Firhill. Race blew it last night against bottom club Arbroath. They're at Dundee United at Firhill today, the chance to go 3 points clear of the Rovers. Big stuff going on.
Yeah, I think we're now in the territory. Every weekend's a pressure weekend, not just for the top two, obviously to try and get into the top six. Relegation battles tight as well. So every game is precious out there. 3 points is what every team's looking for. Some good fixtures, plenty of goals, plenty of action and plenty of talking points.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, some good fixtures again, and they're coming thick and fast now. But one thing's for sure, if you're going to win this league title, you have to take care of your home games. Rangers have to do that today. Will it be as emphatic as last week? That remains to be seen. All across the games, something to be played for. And even at the bottom, St Johnstone, who were looking like they were once going to get dragged into that relegation battle, have it in their grasp to put light between them and Livy.
10 games to go. The sun is shining, Hugh Keevans. I know our league is not perfect, far from it, but it does feel like at this stage of the season, every single fixture matters. There is a lot to look forward to this afternoon.
Well, Rangers, the need for 5 points of a lead over Celtic is, of course, uppermost in the minds of the fans. Aberdeen, their fans are up in arms over Neil Warnock and the lack of success that he's had as interim manager. Hibs against Ross County. Well, Ross County could do themselves a real favour by getting further away from the relegation drop zone. And, of course, Dundee at home to Kilmarnock, looking to overcome the sensation of losing 7-1 to Celtic in midweek. Meanwhile, Brendan Rodgers drums his fingers and waits to see if Callum McGregor is going to be fit for that game at Tynecastle tomorrow. It'll be a very unusual Celtic side without the skipper.
So what's this big exclusive? You're claiming that Neil Warnock waved to you from the Aberdeen team bus on the M8 this afternoon?
I obviously recognise me. I've spoken to Neil a few times in my days gone by. He must have seen me and went, oh, there's a dazzler.
The thing that's confusing me, usually you wait until like at least 15 minutes into a Saturday show before you lie to us. Are you serious on this?
Nah, I'm lying. No, I'm serious.
Whereabouts did you see them?
The 74. They would get caught up. In fact, their bus will probably be late. A very attractive bus.
And he gave you a wee wave, didn't
he? It's got a 40 shinny, and I don't know who the other player is. It's very attractive.
They've got blacked out windows.
Yeah, but I was right beside them, and he obviously was sitting. I seen him. And I looked in and he jumped across.
That does sound embellished, quite frankly.
He's 75,
he doesn't jump anywhere.
Well, he moved across, but I'll tell you what, they were late, I've got to say. They were held up. I was neck and neck with them. I couldn't help. I was staring in. No one of those ones that you just kept looking until somebody eventually
went.
Listen,
I know you've stared in a few windows in your time. 01419511025. Write that down right now, because later on you'll be able to have your say. But there's plenty of action to get through before that. Let's go to Ibrox Rangers against Motherwell. Andrew McLean has the teams.
Yeah, we all mentioned that every game from now until the end of the season is going to have that running story of closing gaps and extending points when it comes to the top two. Rangers, of course, with a chance today to move 5 points clear of Celtic ahead of their tough trip to Tynecastle tomorrow. Two very different tests Rangers have had this week and overcome as well. I'm sure the fans here would want to see a similar performance to that 5-0 hammering of Hearts last Saturday. Then they scrapped it out for a vital 3 points, didn't they, on Wednesday at Rugby Park. Philip Clamotno saying that they'll have to be wary of Motherwell, especially because they are the third top goal scorers in the league despite their position in the Premiership. Theo Bear and Jack Vale both in good goal scoring form. They gave Rangers a good game here actually earlier on in the season. Stuart Kettlewell will be hoping that they can come away with something this time though. Four changes for Philip Clement coming into this one. Barisic, Lawrence, Cortez and Silva drop out. In come Yilmaz, Raskin, Sterling and Desser. So Jack Butland in goal for them today. The back four, James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, John Souter and Ridvan Yilmaz. John Lundstrom and Nicholas Raskin, the two holding midfielders. Ross McCausland, Mohamed Diaz, Mandy and Dujon Sterling in behind Cyril Dessers. So the substitutes: McCrory, Silva, Jack, Lawrence, Wright, Roof, Davies, Balogun and Barisic. Two changes for Motherwell. Adam Devine drops out. He can't play against his parent club. Sam Nicholson is on the bench for this one. In comes Shane Blaney. Looks as if he'll play at left back in this game, with Georgie Gent only fit enough for the bench. Jack Vale comes in from the start as well. Liam Kelly in goal for them. The back five: Stephen O'Donnell, Paul McGinn, Bevis Mugabe, Dan Casey and Shane Blaney. The midfield three: Davor Zdravkovsky, Lennon Miller and Blair Spittle. Theo Bear and Jack Vale the front two. The substitutes: Oxborough, Gent, Abika, Halliday, Shaw, Nicholson, Elliott, Ferry and Wells. The referee for this one at Ibrox is Alan Muir and the VAR is Ewan Anderson.
Halliday back on the bench, fit and raring to go. Andrew McLean sounds fresh enough after the big Clyde One night out last night as well. We'll see how the rest of the team fare as the afternoon goes on. Let's find out the reaction in the studio. Rangers team, Gordon DL. I don't feel like there's ever any big surprise or big conclusion to take away anymore, because Philippe Clement can make changes and no one really bats an eyelid, and the guys that do stay in have generally done a good job recently anyway.
Yeah, he likes to rotate that squad every game. Keeps everybody on their toes, Gordon. Even after a magnificent performance against Hearts last weekend, 5-0 at Ibrox, gone on anything that you care to mention. And then he makes three changes and midweek as well. So he's not frightened to make changes. He's not frightened to, you know, throw the gauntlet down to one or two players and say, right, okay, you've got to keep playing very well to keep in this side. And that's a big task, a big ask for Motherwell today. I know a lot of Rangers fans before a Hearts game were saying, look, we've got to give somebody a real doing. They certainly gave it to Hearts. Motherwell defensively have not been great this season. So I think Motherwell will need a big performance today at Ibrox to get out of there.
Mark, if there's a Mr. Versatility award to be handed out at the end of the season, it feels like Dujon Sterling's thrown his hat in the ring for that.
Oh, without doubt. He comes into the side in a number of positions, never lets his manager down. I keep saying having a player like that within your squad is so important, because he churns out the same performance, if that's fullback, if that's centre midfield. He's found himself recently kind of occupying that left midfield role, and we did think it would be more narrow to start with when we saw him against St Mirren there, but he did hug the touchline at times, and he's just so athletic, and that's why he gets away with it. Good on the ball as well, and he's been asked to play a role today. Again, McCausland in the side as well. You know, we've seen flashes of him this season. Again, this is a big afternoon for him. But again, what that says, Philippe Clement constantly rotating his side, keeps everybody happy. That's right, keeps everybody ready for action, but he's getting the same results out of them. That's very difficult to do, so credit to his players who are sometimes sitting on the bench, probably unhappy that they're not playing, but come in the following week and perform to the maximum.
And a huge week for you, Gordon DL, the week that you finally admitted that maybe Borna Barisic is not Rangers' first choice left back. Philippe Clement, full of praise for Ridvan Yilmaz yesterday, and he's in the team today.
No surprises after midweek. He changed it at half time, Gordon. He'd made those three changes prior to the Hearts game. Barish has come in. Obviously, Yilmaz has been in terrific form, I've got to say that. Maybe it's just the fact that Yilmaz looks like he's got a future there. Barisic looks like it's the exit door at in the summer. So, yeah, Yilmaz has been really impressive since he came into the team, and I think under Clement, he's really shining.
I think Philippe Clement, still on a high after that Clement result in midweek. He thought it was a massive win, and of course he was correct, because they were a goal down, but for Jack Butland, might have gone two down. But they've come back in great style. Tavernier done a terrific goal, took him beyond John Gregg's record. Tavernier is now in his own quiet way becoming a Rangers legend. And then Tom Lawrence finishing the deal with his goal. So I think Rangers have momentum. They have this belief that the league title is within their grasp. And that's why I'm very much afraid that in spite of all the great efforts of Blair Spittle, of the Bear up front, and of Lennon Miller, the outstanding player at the club, it just won't be enough. Rangers, with those fans behind them, I think are going to have a comfortable afternoon and win convincingly.
A couple of absentees for Motherwell, Gordon. Great to see our own Andy Halliday back on the bench, but Georgie Gent only fit for the substitutes bench as well, which means Shane Blaney at left back. It's not a completely alien position to him, but not seen him play there too often. So maybe Stuart Kettlewell a bit limited in his defensive options today.
Yeah, and if you're young McCausland, you're looking at that situation thinking, right, I fancy my afternoon here, because you're right, Blaney's not played a lot of games at left back, he's more of a centre back. But they'll just need to sit there. I don't think Stuart Kettlewell will be telling his full backs to get up high and press high up at the pitch, because they'll probably be there, they'll get everybody behind the ball, they'll try and make it difficult, they'll try and sit in and then hit Rangers on the counter, because they have got one or two good players. Because Hugh's right, young Lennon Miller's been excellent, terrific. Spittle, you've seen the goals that he's starting to score, he's had a great season. And the Bear, and if you can get the supply to him, he can cause problems.
If you can feed him.
Feed the Bear.
Right, yeah.
Feed
him. That would have been a better turn of phrase. But anyway, we'll leave Rangers Motherwell there for now. As soon as we're done with this, let's hear from the two managers.
Motherwell, yeah, it's a little bit of a strange story. I'm always interested in data, because it controls your feelings, or it backups the feelings that you have or not. You see where they are in the league. And I've seen now in the data that they are, and I was surprised about that, but because it was something I didn't know. But it's the team who's third in the ranking of scoring most goals in the league. So that was something new for me. So it shows also that we need to play not only a game where we need to be offensively really good to break open the wall, but we need to defend as a team also really well against them. It's going to be also crucial, not to be naive.
Everything that's happened since I've been at the football club in just over a year would suggest that we don't go into our shell, and that there is no fear, and that we've generally had a really good organisation. When you know that you're going into tough games, that's not to say that Rangers don't have a lot of the ball. That's not to say that they don't get a lot of crosses into our box, and that they don't have opportunities, because we've had to ride out those moments as well. But I don't sit in front of you alluding to, you know, a horrendous showing, or, you know, that lack of confidence or belief going to the big venues and playing against the top sides in the country. I don't sit here with that feeling, because I don't really have too much evidence to suggest that. We've been really competitive in these types of games.
I am assuming the Aberdeen bus has arrived in Paisley for St Mirren Aberdeen. David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, it's arrived. Neil Warnock gave me a wee wave there as well, so I've joined Gordon Dale in getting that pleasure today. But it's going to be a big day. If he'd said 5 weeks ago that Gianni Infantino would be in Paisley to watch an Aberdeen side managed by Neil Warnock, I don't think anybody would have believed you. But it's happening today, another surreal moment in the crazy world of Scottish football. The FIFA president Infantino is at Loch Lomond for this big IFAB summit. He's expected to be in the VIP seats at the Smyzer Stadium later on, so we'll keep an eye on that. And I think Warnock will be hoping the FIFA president's a good luck charm because he badly needs a win here. 2-0 home defeat to St Johnstone on Wednesday came off the back of a similar loss at Killie last weekend. I think it's fair to say Aberdeen season's in free fall. They're just now 4 points above Ross County, are currently in the relegation playoff place. Should we say earlier, they haven't, in such bad form, they haven't won a league game since January 2nd. Neil Warnock's yet to win a league game. He's taken just 2 points from 15 since taking over. He was meant to provide this bounce, you know, to be this miracle worker, but they're actually getting worse to the point where you do wonder if Dave Cormack would make another change if they maybe lose again here today. I know that sounds crazy, but stranger things have happened. This is a really tough away match against a St Mirren team still in course to finish in the top six. They're fifth to start the day. They want to finish off a decent week. They beat St Johnstone, then get that draw up at Ross County. Obviously, the controversy with the VAR up there. They've got a good record against Aberdeen. They haven't lost to Aberdeen here in 4 years. They beat them 3-0 at Pittodrie in December, and they're obviously strong favourites today. So Neil Warnock badly needs a win, but I think he's going to be up against it today. St Mirren unchanged from that Dingwall match. Zach Hemming in goals, James Bolton, Alec Gogic, Marcus Fraser at the back, Elvis Bomono, Quan, Caelan Boyd-Munce, Scott Tanza across midfield with Lewis Jameson and Greg Kilty in behind Mikael Mandron. Subs for St Mirren are Urminski, Dunn, Taylor, Brown, O'Hara, McMenamin, Olisanya, Scott and Ayunga. As for Aberdeen, Neil Warnock's trying everything. He's made four changes today. It looks like a 3-5-2 formation. Milne, Hayes, McGrath, Clarkson all out. Nicky Devlin, Duke, Killian Phillips and Junior Hoyle are all in. So Stephen Gartman, sorry, Kilroos in goals, Stephen Gartman, Angus McDonald and Richard Jensen at the back, Nicky Devlin, Connor Byrne, Graham Shinney, Killian Phillips and Junior Hoyle across midfield with Duke and Bojan Majovski up front. Subs for Aberdeen are Doohan, McGrath, Clarkson, McGarry, Hayes, Sockler, Polvara, Duncan and Milt. The referee are a very, very sunny smizer is Nick Walsh and the VAR is Kevin Clancy.
Really looking forward to that one. Neil Warnock and Aberdeen desperate for a win, but St Mirren will have other ideas. Let's go to Hibs Ross County, watched by Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. Gordon, a win for today for Hibs would finish off a good week for the team. A win versus fellow top six challengers Dundee last Saturday, followed up by a good performance and a point in the derby at Hearts. So anything other than the 3 points today, I think, would be unacceptable to the Hibs supporters who come here in good numbers, as always. There's been a good investment in the squad in terms of transfer fees and salaries, so top six is the minimum the fans would accept. And that important win against Dundee have given the Easter Road confidence that they can do so. But inconsistency all season for Hibs has been the problem. They always look like they can score, there's some really good attacking players, but equally they always look like they could lose a goal. So it's always very entertaining at Hibs, but perhaps not the kind of entertainment that the Hibs supporters want. But new signings, Mercondes and Maelida settled in well, starting to score, and if Dylan Venta can find his scoring boots today, you'd have to fancy Hibs to get the 3 points. But Don Kelly beginning to see positive signs from his struggling county side. A vital home win against Livy and a point against St Mirren in midweek's given them some breathing space between themselves and Livingston at the bottom, and these points have also given them hope of catching the teams above them. And with St Johnstone playing Livingston today, County will want to take advantage of whatever that result is, but getting something here today, even a point, I think they'd be quite happy with. They've got Tamin Brophy back from injury, they've got Jordan White up front scoring another goal, so they're quite lively, and the key today, I think, will be how they defend against this potent Hibs attack. County haven't won in 12 away league games, Hibs unbeaten in the last four, but sometimes football can throw up strange results, and much of that might depend on which Hibs team turns up. Hibs, unsurprisingly, are unchanged from the team that played in midweek against Hearts. 4-2-3-1 formation. David Marshall in goals, Lewis Miller, Will Fish, Rocky Bashiri and Jordan Obita at the back, Nathan Mariah Welsh and Joe Newell in the midfield, with Martin Boyle, Emiliano Marcondes and Maiziani Maialida in behind the lone striker Dylan Venta. Their substitutes: Jojo Wallacott, Paul Hamlin, Dylan Levitt, Ellie Yuan, Chris Cadden, Eliza Mayenda, Lewis Stevenson, Adam Lafondra and Nick Dictarios Triantis. For Ross County, two changes. Aina drops to the bench and Simon Murray is injured. In come captain Jack Baldwin after a long absence. They'll be delighted to see him and James Brown. So a 3-5-2, a slight change of formation from Don Cowie today. George Wickens in goals, a back three: Michael Effetti, Jack Baldwin and Ryan Leake. Five across the middle: James Brown, Max Sheaf, Victor Latoury, Eli King and Josh Reid, with Eamon Brophy and Jordan White up front. Ross Laidlaw, Cameron Borthwick, Jackson, Josh Sims, George Harmon, Jay Henderson, Brandon Kayla, Teddy Jenks and Loic Aina are the substitutes. And the referee today, Easter Road, is Craig Napier and the VAR is David Munro.
Old pals back together, Dundee against Kilmarnock. Dave Galloway has the teams.
Well, we will see, Gordon, what impact a 7-1 scalping from Celtic will have on Dundee this afternoon. They've suffered four defeats to the old firm this season, but have responded positively on each occasion with two wins and two draws in their next matches. Kelly are also keen to bounce back from their narrow loss to Rangers in midweek, when they gave a pretty good account of themselves. Two good footballing sides looking to cement their places in the top six. The Dark Blues could certainly do with the 3 points, as they have Hibs and Motherwell right behind them, all set to pounce. But a Killie victory would be a big step towards them nailing down the top half slot as the split edges ever closer. An entertaining encounter is on the cards here. To the teams then, and not surprisingly, after that 7-1 drubbing, lots of changes for Dundee. Tony Docherty has made no fewer than six of them. Now the men coming in, John McCracken, Scott Tiffany, Lyle Cameron, Josh Mulligan, Aaron Donnelly and Mo Silla. Out drop Trevor Carson, Jordan McGee, Ricky Lamy, Finlay Robertson, Malachi Boateng and Amadou Bakayoko. So John McCracken in goals. It looks like a 4-3-3 this afternoon. A back four then of Antonio Portales, Joe Shocknessy, Aaron Donnelly and Owen Beck. Midfield, Lyle Cameron, Mo Silla and Luke McCowan. Up top, Curtis Main, supported by Josh Mulligan and Scott Tiffany. The subs for the Ds today, Legstins, Sharp, Dodgson, Astley, Bakayoko, Lamy, Boateng, Mellon and Costello. Kilmarnock, like I say, they did not too badly despite that 2-1 defeat against Rangers. Just the one change for them, it's Robbie Dees in for Stuart Finlay. So Will Dennis in goals, across the back Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dees and Corey Ndaba. Midfield, Danny Armstrong, Liam Polworth, Liam Donnelly and Matty Kennedy. Up front, it's Marley Watkins and Kyle Vassell. The subs, O'Hara, McKenzie, Watson, Balaghizi, Murray, Cameron, Davies, Mackay Stephen and Van Veen. To the officials and referee today is Colin Stephen on VAR duties, Greg Aitken.
And very quickly, back to Ibrox, because I know we tend to focus on the players who are involved, but big news, Andrew, about one Rangers player who's not involved.
Yeah, Philip Clement saying yesterday that Oscar Cortez has an injury. Of course, he came off in that game against Kilmarnock midweek. Well, he's now confirmed in a pre-match interview that Oscar Cortez is going to be out with a long-term injury. Doesn't look good at all. Of course, he's only on loan until the summer at this point, so Rangers are going to be in contact with Lons to see what the next steps are. Potentially could need an operation as well. So you do wonder whether his season is over just by the language given by Philip Clement. It'll be one that the Rangers fans will be concerned about as well, because he was very impressive in his first few appearances as well.
Yep, bad news that, Rangers fans. Oscar Cortez looking like he's out long term. We are up to speed with the team news and we'll take a look at some of the week's biggest talking points next.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL all in the studio. We've got the top team around the grounds. A fantastic day of Premiership action and plenty to get our teeth into down the lower leagues as well. Let's take a look at some of the bigger picture from this midweek now that we've got you up to speed with the team news. It's getting very easy for me, Fraser. I don't feel like I have to be very creative. I feel like at the moment, every week, we just check in on a Saturday and see what developments, if any, there's been in the title race since we spoke last. What can we take away from midweek?
Well, I think you can take away that Rangers are right in this this title race and they're not going to roll over perhaps as easy as they have done in many of the recent years. I was at the game down at Rugby Park and we all talk about that Jack Butland save, but Liam Donnelly missed a couple of real chances. I think one, especially in the opening minutes, header from 6 yards as well, and Kilmarnock were up for it, and up until Tavernier scored, Rangers were rocking. Of course, just got that one bit of brilliance from James Tavernier, and the whole dynamic changed. The fans were really up for it as well, and they roared their team on, got the other goal, and then saw out the game. But that was a tricky game, and Derek McInnes was quite rightly afterwards proud of the way his team played, and Philip Clement also complimented them as well. So that was a big win. When you add that to the win last week, comprehensive win against Hearts, the third best team in the country. Rangers are up for this, and Celtic are the team now who can't afford any slip-ups over the next few weeks before the Oldham game.
Was it one of those midweeks, David Field, where though like both sides of Glasgow could claim that that was some sort of marker or significant result? You know, the difficulty of the fixture on paper for Rangers, the way they came back, the character shown, and then the emphatic nature of Celtic's win.
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, I think both sides will take a lot from the games, as you said, for very different reasons. Rangers, to me, it looked like a really tricky game. It's even trickier when you're 1-0 down at half-time, having not played very well. So to come out and then go in front so quickly and play with such authority in the second half, I thought it spoke a lot for what Philip Clement has done with that team. In terms of Celtic, I think Hugh said the performance fell out of the sky. I know exactly what he means, but I don't think it's any coincidence that Celtic in probably the last game and a half, you know, the second half against Motherwell, last half hour against Motherwell, and then in midweek against Dundee, it's coincided with Cameron Carter-Vickers coming back. To me, Celtic will just look a completely different team with him in the side. I think he brings so much leadership, so much security at the back, and to get a 7-1 win when Celtic, you know, were being accused of not being entertaining, not scoring enough goals, I think it gives Celtic a huge boost, a really, really tricky game at Tynecastle tomorrow.
Yeah, is that fair, Hugh? Is we always talk about kind of good cop, bad cop in Glasgow, just one of those nights where everybody was happy and everybody claimed that they should be happier than the other side.
Well, you know, the halftime score from Celtic Park came across like an optical illusion. 6-0. You know, for a team that
you started cleaning your glasses, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually moved closer to the television because I thought that looked like 6-0 to me. And it was an amazing performance. I thought Daniel Kelly's goal in the second half was outstanding. He's 18 years old. He's out of contract in the summer. It's a real test of Celtic's powers of persuasion to get him to sign an extension to that contract. Celtic have lost young boys before to the Bundesliga, and Daniel Kelly, represented by Jeremy Frimpong's agent, so you know they have to get him nailed down because he looks an outstanding prospect. I'll be very interested to see if he makes an appearance at Tynecastle tomorrow. But you're right, the Celtic fans at half-time delivered an ovation to the team. At that point, Rangers were losing and the Celtic fans thought they could see the promised land. But Rangers came back in the second half, and for the first time in a long time, you've got the feeling that it is on a knife edge. It will only remain that way if Celtic win at Tynecastle tomorrow, because they have to, they're chasing Rangers and they have to chase them in a meaningful way. Any points dropped at Tynecastle tomorrow would be a major setback after what happened midweek.
Yeah, talk about fixtures on paper, Fraser. It doesn't always work out that way, but I think there was a feeling, if we went back to this time last week, people said this is about as tough a test as Rangers can face. Hearts are the third best team in the country. They're flying, then have to go away to Kilmarnock. They've come through that with 6 points. And then it almost flips back, doesn't it, onto Celtic, where you look at, again, on paper and say, well, Tynecastle is a real sort of standout, difficult fixture.
Yeah, I think we've said it in the last few weeks. In recent years, the traditional tough fixtures, if you like, for the Old Firm, particularly Celtic, because they've dominated our league for the last number of years, they just kind of roll teams over, you know. They've just kind of won against Hearts and won against Aberdeen and Hibs, but obviously Hearts are a better team this year than they have been perhaps the last couple of years in Kilmarnock. The surface does make a difference. It does. It's a challenge. I could see in Rangers, because Fabio Silva up front, the ball was getting knocked long. It was bouncing around. It was, you know, Kelly were brilliant. It was just swarming round onto the second balls as well. Barisic was getting a tough time from Dan Armstrong on that surface when they get balls in the box. So these were going to be big games, you know, and Rangers have come through them, particularly the Kilmarnock game. I think everybody could see who was there, you know, the emotion and the reaction from Philip Clément. He knew that his side were struggling, you know, after 55 minutes, start of the second half. Kelly came out and played just the way they had in the first half, but then the Rangers just found a way of turning it around, and that's what happens. Sometimes they'll score one goal against either the Old Firm, and then there's another one in within 2 or 3 minutes, and the game just changes dramatically. So for me, big game tomorrow for Celtic. I just think that Rangers don't look like they're going to drop many points, and Celtic really don't want to be going into the Old Firm game more than a couple of points behind them. So it's a big test for Celtic to see whether they can keep this good recent form in the last week up.
Having been there and sort of witnessed it, Fraser, sometimes when a team makes an improvement under a new manager, you always hear that phrase, don't you, that fans will say, we would have lost that last season, or we would have dropped points there early in the season. And it's a great statement because nobody can really prove it one way or the other. But was it the type of night that got that feeling? Did you see something in that Rangers team that maybe hasn't been there?
Yeah, I did, and I think it's a valid point. You know, we all say, ah, they wouldn't have won that under Michael Beale, but they didn't. You know, lost 1-0 at the start of the season when it was a similar type of game, but they didn't come back. But it was on a bit of a knife edge for Rangers. You know, the Jack Butland save was absolutely outstanding, but there was other incidents, I said earlier, Liam Donnelly, and a few other incidents in the box as well where Rangers could have been further behind, but just that bit of magic from Tavernier, free kick 25 yards out, and all of a sudden the whole dynamic changed. You know, Rangers supporters were in good voice for most of the game, but that just turned the notch up three or four times, because it was really behind the team. And you could just see that Kilmarnock were rocking for a wee while as well. And then towards the end, Kilmarnock again came back into it, a few chances, a bit of pressure in the box as well, and Rangers having to defend as well. So there is a bit of a steal there. But that, a lot of that just comes from confidence. And Clement looks as if he's that type of manager who gives players confidence, who believes in his players. I think he's a bit of a disciplinarian as well, but not way over the top. But the players are taken to him, and they're certainly enjoying their football.
I mean, David, it's such a different challenge for Celtic going to Tynecastle than it was midweek, but do you feel like they needed that? They needed not only a win, but a really emphatic one going into the big game tomorrow?
Yeah, because there's no doubt Celtic's confidence had... I'm not going to say gone, but if you looked at some of the recent performances, even winning games, there just wasn't that flair about it. There wasn't that sort of... Try to think, you know, the entertainment value, all that sort of stuff. So I think to win so convincingly, you know, to be 6-0 up at half time, to be get back to playing free flowing football, and it was the same in the last half against Motherwell. It was really, really good. I just think it changes the entire dynamic around Celtic. I think suddenly Brendan Rodgers will be looking at players and they're all busting to play, and suddenly they've all got confidence. And I think if you'd have said, you know, before that game in midweek, going to Tynecastle, you know, Celtic, it's always going to be tough, but I think Celtic are far more confident mood now, and I expect Celtic to go and get a result there tomorrow, Gordon.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating day for sure. A news story in the end came out of Celtic yesterday, David. Actually, we debated it quite a bit on the show last night, that Celtic's head of recruitment, Mark Lawwell, chief scout, had resigned from the club. What did you make of that? Your kind of reaction, are you surprised, timing wise, what jumped out for you?
No, I'm not really surprised, Gordon. It has been rumbling on for a couple of weeks now. You know, a lot of speculation, a lot of rumours. Am I surprised? Not really. I don't know the ins and outs of the reason why Mark decided to step down. I think if you look at the scrutiny on Celtic's transfers, a lot of it has been pretty personal towards him. I think that's a bit unfair. Yeah, he leads the scouting team, but the managers do push the buttons on the signings. And look, I think it was obviously an environment that was becoming pretty difficult in terms of just the, as I say, the scrutiny, the focus on him. And I don't really, if that was a key reason, I don't really blame him for walking away and deciding to go and, you know, pick up another job somewhere. I'm sure he will. He had 10 years at City Group. Joe Dudgeon also left yesterday as well. I think he was of a similar mind, just to go and do something different. And look, that sometimes happens when managers move on. I know a lot of Celtic fans will look at, you know, Mark Lawwell and Peter Lawwell as the chairman, but he was brought in by Ange Postecoglou. I know for a fact he did have a really, really strong working relationship with Ange Postecoglou. Yeah, it's probably not worked out in the last year for him, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Mark Lawwell team up again with Ange Postecoglou down the line at Spurs.
Not a hugely controversial conclusion, Mark, to look at the last couple of windows if you're a Celtic fan, feel that the recruitment hasn't been good enough, and then analyse the position of the head of recruitment. That's just par for the course. We've said before, it's always one of those roles that we are very much on the outside. You're never really going to know what member of the recruitment team recommends which player, what part the manager plays. We do it all the time. Is that a Brendan Rodgers signing? And is that, you know, we don't really know the ins and outs, which makes it a bit more difficult. But like I say, when it's all said and done, if you look at the last two windows, 99.5% of Celtic fans will say that they wanted some improvement in recruitment. And yeah, whether that's Mark Lawwell's sole responsibility or not, he's decided to walk away.
Yeah, a lot of guesswork, assumption from outside the club on that role, and it's a role that's become more visible over the years. I mean, I think back to my time at Celtic, nobody had any idea if it was a Gordon Strachan sign and Peter Lawwell was the chief exec or the head of first team scouting. But now it is so visible and probably accountable if things don't go right. And I agree with David on that. I agree it is unfair to just put it all at Mark Walwell's feet, or the head of any recruitment team's feet, because there's a lot, because isn't it, the player coming in doesn't quite fit into the style, the system, the country, whatever, underperforms. The manager doesn't get the best of it. So there's a lot of people involved in a transfer. But it looks like, you know, that's what's led to Mark leaving. He has resigned, he has walked away. But you look at the players he brought in compared to what was before, and it was always going to be very difficult to live up to what Celtic brought in before. Hatate, Kyogo, O'Reilly, Jota, Carter Vickers, Maeda even in there, just before he took on his role. Then you look at his Johnson, Moya, Wata, Jens, you know, you go through the list, Bernardo, Palma. Now, there's still been successes in there, and there might still be successes. Some are in the infancy of their Celtic career at the minute. Who knows if Palma will spark into life or go the other way? You know, Bernardo, will he become a permanent signing in a couple of years' time? People say, by the way, he wasn't a bad signing, and he's been sold on for a huge profit. Johnson, he's not had the best season this season, very good last season. So he's had successes, but no doubt he's had failures as well. That's what's led to him resigning.
The rationale behind any transfer window is to strengthen the squad, primarily to strengthen the first team. Celtic's last two transfer windows have not achieved that target. The terminology is important. Mark Lawwell was not sacked by Celtic, he resigned from Celtic. For me, resignation is an indication that all was not going well.
Well, let's not worry too much longer about signings and comings and goings, because it's all about who's here currently. And we've got big games round the country. 3 o'clock kickoffs are getting ever closer, and we go back around those grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are in the studio. There's a bit of a presentation going on at Ibrox. Andrew McLean, who is being recognised there?
Yeah, Stephen Davis is just down pitch side at the moment. He's being inducted into the Rangers Hall of Fame. He's just doing an interview that the fans are listening into at the moment. Over to my left as well, there is a big banner as well from the supporters. Says Stephen Davis, MBE, 370 appearances, 140 international caps, 70 assists, 28 goals, 3 League Cups, 3 Scottish Cups, 4 League Trophies. Trophies Hall of Famer. He certainly is a Rangers legend across two spells at the club, found a lot of success here, and he's much loved by everyone in this stadium. So he's just getting a round of applause at the moment as he addresses the supporters and reflects on his time here at Ibrox.
And one karaoke night out with Mark Wilson, so that was missing from the banner.
That's right, yeah.
Remember that when I asked Mark Wilson, what's your real standout memory of Stephen Davis's long, illustrious career? And he told us about the time that they went to karaoke.
You've got to
together.
Remember the lighter moments in life.
That's,
you.
Oh, that's course, the type of insight that you're brought here for, quite frankly. So well done to Stephen Davis. Hopefully enjoys his afternoon.
I had a lighter moment last night sitting with Gordon Duncan and with Mark Wilson and getting close to a rock star in Callum Beattie. So,
I saw you nodding away at some of the tunes. There's a few tales from last night I'm keen to explore before the end of the show, but we've got business to take care of before we get round to kick off. Let's go back to St Mirren and Aberdeen. We're going to make, like, almost like making light of it, and oh, Neil Warnock, and listen to what he's got to say, and oh, now he really needs a win. But he really, really needs a win, David Field, today, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's become a bit of a circus, to be perfectly honest with you, Gordon. I was down, obviously, for the show last week at Killy for Aberdeen's game, and I was actually quite taken aback after the game by, it was almost like Neil Warnock was absolving himself from any blame for the form and the results. He was just, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm here, I'm trying my best. And I know he got a lot of criticism during the week. Guys like Willie Miller, you know, don't get a bigger Aberdeen legend than Willie. And yesterday he says, oh, I don't listen to it, and, you know, I'm just here, and I want to be here, I want to just help the team. But he needs to start winning games. It's almost like he's just here to scratch an itch, just to say that I manage a big club in Scotland. But I don't really see where Aberdeen are going under Neil Warnock. I don't really get it, what they're trying to do. I don't get why Dave Cormack and Alan Burrows decided to go down this route, because it's just turning into an absolute circus. And if Aberdeen don't win today, they're in deep, deep trouble. And there's a good crowd here today for Aberdeen, Gordon. There's a lot of Central Belt fans always take the opportunity to come and watch them at St Mirren. And if this goes badly today, the Aberdeen players, the chairman and Neil Warnock are going to really, really get it in the neck.
I agree with David Friel. I think that if St Mirren beat Aberdeen today, the Aberdeen board have a decision to make.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like I know it's bad, I was there on Wednesday, I heard the booing, but what would that be like, six games in, five league games league games, I think.
But the players are clearly not buying in to the Neil Warnock experiment, and the fans certainly aren't buying into it. If you continue to slide, and they have no wins in their last five games, if you continue to slide closer to that relegation playoff place, that for Aberdeen Football Club is a disgrace.
Yeah,
and you cannot have your destiny in the hands of a man who is not capable of shaping your destiny in a positive way.
I do get that, Fraser Wishart, and I recognise a lot of what Hugh's saying, and maybe I'm being too general about it. It just feels like, are there any circumstances under which you should look to part with a manager after six league games?
Well, if they drop down, if they lose today and St Johnston win, and say Ross County pick up a point or two here, then all of a sudden the pressure's on for that relegation place. You know, and I'm sitting in the stand at Easter Road and chatting to Billy Dodds, who's one of the other broadcasters, and he was in the squad many years ago when Aberdeen actually did end up in the playoffs. I was playing at that time for Hearts at that time as well. We were down there as well. So it can happen to big clubs, and if they lose the next couple of games, I think they've got Motherwell away, and I think they've then got Ross County, I think, coming up maybe in the next couple of weeks. So all of a sudden, they don't get a win the next couple of games, the Ross County game becomes huge. And I'm just looking at the list of managers as you were talking there. Derek McInnes left on the 8th of March 2021, and since then they've had Stephen Glass get less than a year, Jim Goodwin get less than a year, Barry Robson get less than a year. They've had Barry Robson and Neil Warnock in as interim managers, and Paul Sheehan as well. It's just a list of the managers, you know, and Dave Cormack and the rest of the Aberdeen board have made those decisions. So where do they go now? Because they've gone with a young guy, Stephen Glass, who was going to bring in great football. They went with Jim Goodwin, who had done well at St Mirren, and they're looking for him to bring in that kind of strength into the team. Then they brought in Barry Robson, who I don't think was ever in the running for the manager's job when he got the caretaker job, but did so well they gave him the job, came through the youth. Where do they go now? They've now gone to the complete opposite with Neil Warnock, so they need to work out what they're going to do. But they've invested big in transfer fees and wages over the last 12 months because of the guaranteed European money. They're not going to be in Europe next year, so Aberdeen are really at a crucial fork in the road, I think.
Teams you're watching today, though, Fraser, it feels like there's a lot of incentive there. Let's go Hibs first, because you almost forget that, you know, we're focused on, can they make top six? And they're only a point off top six, so they might. Their Edinburgh rivals are 21 points better off. There's almost no way that they can turn this season into a genuine success from here. Is the battle for Nick Montgomery really, though, to just make top six? Would fans kind of swallow that? Is that minimum requirement, and then just try and build again?
Yeah, I think they'd have to swallow that and give Nick Montgomery that chance over the summertime. This new relationship or ownership or whoever in charge of from Bournemouth as well, whether that's a good thing for Scottish football or not, that our clubs will come and feeder clubs for English Premier League clubs is another argument. But there's going to be investment. They're going to get the benefit of good players coming from Bournemouth as well. So that's getting to the summertime. But you're right, the top six is an absolute minimum. And again, you're looking at the investment in the team. But again, a bit like Aberdeen, the board have got to look at themselves as well in terms of the turnover of managers. You know, they just turn them over and turn them over. So Nick Montgomery is already, I think, this summer, he'll get into the summer, I sincerely hope so. He seems a decent bloke. And then come the start of next season again, the pressure is going to build, because he's going to be backed and he's going to get players, and it's about turning those players into a really good team. And they've got something, Hibs. There's something here. You can see it. When every time I watch them, there's always something happening on the park. Unfortunately for Hibs supporters, sometimes it's at the wrong end. There's goals going in at the wrong end. So if they're looking at their squad, if they can keep this together, add a couple of players, maybe bring in a centre-back or a couple of centre-backs, they might have something next season. But you're right, this year it's about getting top six. And I win today, Dundee not winning against Kilmarnock, and they're in the top six, and I think Hibs are favourites to get that final place.
Let's hear from some of the managers involved. These were the pre-match thoughts of Neil Warnock.
If you win your own battles and the result don't come, you can't, you know, you can't ask any more. And fans will always support you like that. In fairness, I don't think anybody's not tried. I think we've had a lot of demoralising goals against that have really knocked our confidence at times. And just when we're on top, you know, they seem to have, you know, knocked us a little back. But I think we've just got to be positive. And that's what I'm going to try and instil. You know, let's have a go when we can. I know we'll be under pressure from the way St Mirren are, but, you know, I think we've just got to go there and give him a good game.
Aberdeen have got a lot of good players. You know, Aberdeen are a good side. Yeah, they're in a moment that they're not getting the results that they want at the minute. But if you look through their squad and the money that's been spent on their squad and putting that together, then you know they it only takes one moment to cause you a problem. And as I say, I've got total respect for them. There'll be certainly no underestimation on our part. We know that we have to be right at the very top of our game, which we weren't on Tuesday night. Saying that we had 60% possession and we played in front of them too much, we didn't deliver balls into areas and our quality of delivery wasn't what it has been. So we need to improve on Tuesday to get a result, and we're under no illusions that it's a tough game.
That's you pretty much set pre-match then. We'll keep a close eye on St Johnstone, Livy, because that is huge at the bottom. We said it because we meant it, every game today carrying a real significance as we tick towards the end of the season. Kick-off coming next. We'll go back to Ibrox.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Minutes away from kickoff across the Scottish Premiership and beyond. Let's build up to the kickoff at Ibrox. It's Rangers against Motherwell. Andrew McLean is there.
Yeah, just waiting for the teams to make their way out the tunnel at the moment here at Ibrox. An expectant crowd, I should say, and no wonder given their recent form. Philip Clement has the belief of these Rangers supporters. He'll be hoping that they listen to his words as well this week. He's asking them to stay right to the end of games here. Some fans are liable to head out early to get the subway, to beat the traffic, but he's asking the supporters to stay right until the end. He's hoping his side as well will be able to put in the type of performance that will keep fans on the edge of their seats for that full 90 minutes as well, like they did against Hearts last weekend. I think a lot of people thought that it was going to be a tougher game than it was, but Rangers showed real quality in that match. Obviously had to show different qualities during the week as well to get that victory away to Kilmarnock after going a goal down. Up against Motherwell today, who do make it tricky when they go to the likes of Ibrox and Celtic Park. They've competed well against both of those sides away from home this season. I'm sure as well there will be a lot of eyes on Lennon Miller, the 17-year-old. He's really impressed this season, but especially so in the last 7 days with his performance against Celtic last weekend and his midweek performance as well. The players now out on the pitch shaking hands. I'll read you the team lineups that have been chosen by both managers. Four changes for Philip Clement. Barisic, Lawrence, Cortez and Silva all drop out. It is a long-term injury for Oscar Cortez as well, as confirmed by Philip Clement just before the game. In come Yilmaz, Raskin, Sterling and Dessert. So it's Jack Butland in goal for Rangers. The back four, James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, John Suter and Ridvan Yilmaz. The two holding midfielders, John Lundstrom and Nicholas Raskin. It means that Mohamed Diamandé will have a bit more of an attacking role in this game as the number 10. Ross McCausland on one side, the versatile Dujon Sterling on the other. Cyril Dessers is the lone striker today. The substitutes, McCrory, Silva, Jack, Lawrence, Wright, Roof, Davies, Balogun and Barisic. Two changes for Motherwell coming into this one. Adam Devine is on loan from Rangers, so he can't play in this game. He drops out of the starting lineup, as well as Sam Nicholson. In comes Shane Blaney and Jack Vale. So it's going to be Liam Kelly in goal. The back five, Stephen O'Donnell, Paul McGinn, Bevis McGabby, Dan Casey and Shane Blaney. In midfield three, Davor Zdravkovsky, Lennon Miller and Blair Spittle. The two up top, Theo Bear and Jack Vale. The substitutes, Oxborough, Gent, Obika, Halliday, Shaw, Nicholson, Elliott, Ferry and Wells. The referee for this one at Ibrox is Alan Muir. The VAR is Ewan Anderson, and we are just about to get underway here at Ibrox.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. New year, new start. Quit the cigarettes with the smoking cessation programme.
Right, come on then, let's see what you three have in your locker. Start with Ibrox, give me your predictions for today. Don't forget St Johnstone, Livy is an important one as well.
Home win Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Home win St Mirren. The Aberdeen misery to continue for me. Hibs, home win against Ross County. Dundee against Kilmarnock, away win Derek McInnes. And a draw in Perth, St Johnstone, Livy.
I'm different from you this week, Hugh. We were 2 weeks in a row the same. I'm going to go for Rangers home win, a draw for Neil Warnock's Aberdeen away at St Mirren. I'll go for a Hibs win against Ross County, a draw up at Dens Park, and I'll go St Johnstone home win against Livy.
Right, it's a full house at Ibrox, Rangers. I'm going.
Some Motherwell fan you are.
Yeah, I've got to. There's no point kidding myself on. Just hope for the best. St Mirren, Aberdeen. Neil looked very positive on the bus, I've got to say. I'm going to draw.
It's Neil now, is it? Okay.
Yeah, the lad. I'm going for Hibs.
What was it you called? Was it the lad?
Lad, yeah.
Referred to, did you hear this Thursday night? He referred to 75-year-old Neil Warnock,
yes,
as the lad.
I was listening.
Superb.
Yeah, that's how I think he recognised me.
I thought
today
of myself as a 74-year-old lad straight away.
Yeah, you've got to think positive. Hibs to beat Ross County. I'm going, this is my surprise one, I'm going for a home win Dundee Kilmarnock.
Oh.
And I'm going for a home win St Johnson.
Okay, I don't mind that at all. We're underway at Clyde SSB. If you want to tweet, you can agree or disagree with those predictions. We'll stay in touch with each other throughout the afternoon, and we'll have your say on the open line a bit later on as well. Some interesting football, some interesting spectators. I've had a message in from Paul McNeil. It's a picture of his young son with Gianni Infantino at Paisley. He says he's definitely a saint.
That's a strange one, eh? All the games to go, he's surely going for Hill, Gianni. That's where the real action is going to be.
Well, especially
how's this for a start?
What?
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 1, and it's Mark Wilson's breaking protege, Connor Barron. 60 seconds on the clock. It's a screamer, 30 yards, top corner. That is what Neil Warnock was looking for. Gianni Infantino stands up and says, "Today I am a Don," at the sign of that Connor Barron goal. It was a great run by Duke. Gogic cleared it out. Bang, great finish.
If they lose, it'll be the Don's manager by 5 o'clock. But that is an sensational start for Aberdeen, totally out the blue, unexpected, call it what you will. Now where do we all go from here?
I'd like that. If it did go wrong, then Neil Warnock could walk in and say, "Today I am resigning."
Yeah.
"Today I am a specky tube." I just want to know how Scottish can we make it, that famous Gianni Infantino. What was that in the World Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah. I can't believe he survived that.
Peculiar.
I can't believe he's still,
to say the least.
Yeah, unreal. But where is he, Loch Lomond this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But truthfully,
next place for a meeting.
You know, you were there, Gordon. You were at Pittodrie midweek. I mean, 90 excruciating minutes for Aberdeen, and they come right out the traps after a 2-0 defeat from St Johnstone and go in front. I'm shocked.
Cyril Dessers took a bit of a bang early on at Ibrox. I think a bit of a dead leg or something. He's gone off for a bit of treatment, but I don't think the medical staff or Cyril Dessers are very impressed about it. Referees having a bit of an argument there as they wait for Cyril Dessers to come back on. So nothing really doing in the Ibrox sunshine.
Look at that. The Palmerston Pep
winning.
Out of traps.
He's one up Alexander Ferguson.
Well, that's not
famous
like
Scottish football name. Oh, he needs a win today,
though,
doesn't
today,
he? Stirling Albion.
Oh, well, that'll be good.
Partick Thistle 1, Dundee United 0. Brian Graham on 3 minutes. That's a good start for your employer, Mark.
Very good start.
So Jim is your mate.
He is. Everyone in that fixture. I like my old club. Jim's my mate. My employer.
Who you want to win?
Thistle, of course, Thistle. Come on,
crawler.
I was torn because I've told you many times that my brother-in-law plays for Stirling Albion, and I spoke to him yesterday, and I thought, obviously, usually that's where loyalties would lie. Could we do that to Big Marv? Could we?
Could we go away with family.
But then Marv won't come for Wednesday's show, and I'll have to chase some other pundits.
Bring
Jack in. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to weigh these things up, what your priorities really are. But anyway, a long way to go in that one. A lot of goals in Scotland early on. Spartans won, East Fife 0. Corner Motherwell, they've had the ball in the better areas inside the opening minutes at Ibrox.
But you'd have to say, though, Dundee United lost midweek to Airdrie at home. You cannot be going about losing in this fashion. You know, Raith Rovers really made a mess of it against Arbroath last night. This is Dundee United's chance to go three clear. They cannot come out of Maryhill not having done that.
Both of them at the top of the league.
Terrible.
It's weird because it's so good for so long and then just hitting a shaky spell. Disappointing thing is for Thistle that their poor results coincided with Dundee United and Wraith's poor result. If they had just kept winning, it would have been a whole lot closer.
I'm being very loose with the comparison here, but remember when Hearts won the championship and like they won it, but it just was not convincing enough for loads of the fans, and they got grumpy about it. Then they ended up coming up and doing well when they got there. You get the feeling looking at Wraith's reluctance to take advantage that Dundee United are going to do this still. Yes. They're just not in much style.
Not in sparkling form, but I think they will have enough to go over the line.
They've got to fall over the line, but they need to start picking up results. I know one or two.
Ooh,
United
Liam
fans
Kelly
not
gets
happy.
Away with one. He rushes to the edge of his box. The ball bounces past him, and Mugabe has to hook it away from Dessers. I know the Motherwell goalkeeper's come in for a little bit of criticism this season. He does get away with it, but not a classic, and it doesn't come to anything at the moment. Let me give you your teaser, please. You're going to give them it.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Here's a cheeky wee one for you. Can you name five current Scottish Premiership players who have represented their country at a major tournament and at the Olympics? Five current Scottish Premiership players who have represented their country at a major tournament and at the Olympic Games.
Oh, that's a tough
it's not
one.
Not the Winter Olympics, is it?
No, that would be a teaser.
Yeah, there you go.
Any Scottish Premiership players taking part in the bobsleigh before? Oh, I'm not sure. But it's a good question from Hugh at Clyde SSB. You need to give all the names on one tweet, and you need to do it quicker than everyone else. So in true Olympic fashion, on your marks, get set, go. See that there? We've got the Indoor Athletics World Championships in Glasgow.
Yeah. I love that. I've been watching it.
Did you see the long jumper almost land on the rake?
Yeah, that would have been a sure one.
They were still raking the sandpit and he nearly landed on it.
Yeah, he wouldn't be jumping today if he landed on it. Do you know what I find very surprising? It wouldn't have suited me. See the 70 yard run at the finish line, you've got to run up and throw yourself onto the board. Well, no, the board is a pattern to slow you down.
Well, what else would you?
Well, you think they'd have a bigger runway?
Just don't the point.
You don't see that in Olympics, do you?
It's the World Championship.
It's indoor. It's indoor. Make it bigger. Make it longer. I love Dave.
But you want them to rebuild the arenas that they're in, you make it longer.
Aye, because you could harm somebody, Mark. I was watching last night.
They got a big padded
crash mat.
No, yeah, crash mat you get in school.
I love the 8 out of 15. 8 of 15, that's
We've got an early goal at Ibrox.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Feed the bear and he will do the rest. It's Theo Bear in off the post. Motherwell had started bright and they've got the goal. It was a mix-up at the back from Rangers that allowed them in, and Theo Bear's impressive goal-scoring form continues. It's Rangers 0, Motherwell 1.
Well, flabber my gassed for a second time. Aberdeen a goal up in the minute. Rangers a goal down. This is incredible stuff. I would not have put 2 bob on Motherwell scoring at Ibrox at any stage today.
Third highest scorers in the league. Why would you not have faith that the third highest scorers in the league could score? I'm not saying win the game.
No.
But if that suggests if there's any team apart from Celtic that's going to score at Ibrox, it would be Motherwell.
Well, I just thought that the crowd, everything about Rangers midweek, the momentum, the fact that Clement can clearly see the title at the end of the road here. But to be a goal down, first of all, 100% credit to Motherwell. And I can imagine the atmosphere inside Ibrox now. The whole mood will have changed.
I thought the way Motherwell started against Celtic in that first 45 minutes looked really good. You know, they had a clear plan what to do to try and get in behind Celtic last week. Now, I don't know if it's taken on the same form, but definitely created chances within that. And Bear played a crucial role within that. Again, I don't know how the goals came about, but Theo Bear, after Christmas, has come into some run of form.
Yeah, I was watching Motherwell train yesterday.
I can't take credit. Sorry, I was just going to say to describe the goal to you and to Mark. I was going to say before the game that the Bear and Vale partnership, you know, if Motherwell were going to get up the pitch, because Jack Vale's come in, been really good.
It's excellent
from him. Too strong for John Souter. Rangers will be really disappointed. Souter commits. Vale just sort of shrugs him off, plays the ball across, and Bear fires it in off the post.
I've been impressed with Vale. Get a good goal against Livingston. Good header, composed.
Is he on loan?
Yeah, from
Blackburn.
Blackburn, good player. Good
Do you not hear Andy Halliday's story about him?
No.
So it's often said, I wouldn't dare make cheap, stereotypical digs at you footballers, but that your talent can often be in your feet. All right.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't. Maybe thinking is not always you know,
I would agree.
Part of the, what do you think?
I'm with you. Come on.
What you're saying is the
boys.
He's
already switched off.
Yeah. He, you remember the three all at Pittodrie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he get, they get back on the team bus, and someone says to Jack Vale, "So what did you think of Pittodrie?" And he says, "What one was he? What position did he play?"
That's good.
But he's very good at football so far. So that's the important thing.
He is very good. I mean, last week again, I thought he ran his heart off. Contributed to the game massively, and again the day started well, so a good sign in that.
But there's still a feeling about Rangers, Hugh, and
yeah,
when Motherwell were jogging back into the half and Rangers were putting the ball down, Ibrox kind of erupted as if to say,
come on,
let's get back into this, and there is plenty of time. But a great start for Motherwell. We've said it a few times, but Theo Bear, one goal at St Johnstone, he felt he didn't get a fair chance, to be fair to him. Signed for Motherwell, Motherwell fans, neutral observers, everybody saying, it's not a very inspiring signing. It's now his 11th league goal of the season.
I was one of those. I'll put my hand up.
When he had to play second fiddle to Mika Bireth in the first half of the season.
Yeah, when I seen him, he got off to a good start. He got his first goal up at Dundee, didn't he? First half. And then he sort of disappeared a little bit. And I watched him a few times and thought to myself, you know, where's Motherwell got to get the goals? But all credit to him, he's been absolutely brilliant.
It's his ninth since Christmas.
Yeah, he's been brilliant.
Really,
he's
really impressive.
Some I don't know why he got for his Christmas, but it's certainly worked.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
There's something about goals in off the post today, and Dundee have taken the lead. Tony Dock gets one over on his old pal for now in Derek McInnes, and it's Scott Tiffany. He's been in amongst the goals recently, in off the post. A great run, I should say, down the left. Cuts inside, in off the post. Might have hit the goalkeeper. Is it one of those that goes down as the own goal? I'll find out for you. But either way, Dundee lead Kilmarnock by a goal to nil.
Well, to the Dazzler, he's forecast a home.
I was my nap today.
That'll do him.
I hope a lot
though.
Of people took the advice I gave at 3 o'clock.
I'm sure they would have. But an early goal, see, after coming off losing 7 and being at the game for so long, you're coming up against Kilmarnock, you know, that could have been a tricky one.
Just a bad night all round, though. Did you see the story with the team bus?
Yeah. Oh,
did it break down or something?
It broke down on London Road. So Celtic's team bus had just dropped Celtic off. I had to go and pick the Dundee players up.
They must have been rubbing their hands up. And then there's a difference in buses as well as
budget.
They were
only on it for 2 minutes.
Ah, but a bit of comfort.
Hold on, what do you mean they picked them up? They took them back to Dens?
No,
it was before the game.
Celtic Park.
Before
the game, and then Dundee's bus.
That's why they didn't park the bus.
Had to get exactly. The plan was out the window, that's why they shipped 7.
Oh, listen.
There was no bus to park.
Celtic Park's been known for a lot of people to break down there.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was horrendous.
You remember?
That's right.
People who are unfamiliar with the story, Gordon DL got a new car and it had the start-stop technology and the button for the ignition, and he basically didn't turn his car off and went to an entire game at Celtic Park and came back to find the battery.
I imagine people
suitably drained
in the car park.
Mate, it was embarrassing.
This car's wrong.
It was embarrassing, I've got to say.
Airdrie 0, Queen's Park 1, Dom Thomas with the goal, as suspected by Dave Galloway's description. I think that might have gone down as a Will Dennis own goal. That's in fashion at the moment. See, Mitov had one the other last weekend, didn't he? But anyway, I don't think the managers or the fans care too much. It's Dundee 1, Kilmarnock 0. So lots happening in the top flight already, apart from Fraser Wishart, who says 12 gone, nothing happening.
Oh dear.
So plenty of time.
But a big crowd there, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I'm sure, since you're obsessed.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with the Hibs crowd. I think the
Let's hope there are no objects getting chucked.
No,
from
that was poor. That was
Hibs
poor.
Fans. Oh. It's a really problematic line between scenes we don't like to see and, but that was pretty funny when he caught the pie and ate it. Yeah. There's obviously a serious element to this.
See if they just threw pies.
I still don't know if we should actively encourage that, but I do get what you mean.
But leading to the more serious point, but we have a problem in Scottish football. We have a problem with serious misbehaviour, and we should not deny it and not live in a state of denial. We've got a problem. There far too much of that goes on.
I mean, the bottle opener is grim, isn't it? Really, yeah, really grim when you see that.
And you know what? See, when you see Lauren Shannon, what about his reactions though to dodge that? And he's lucky he's got such good reactions, because that would have left
slightly open. And again, not to make light of it, but the pie was like verging on understandable. Like, I mean, I wouldn't throw a pie myself, but that sort of reaction, the bottle opener's ridiculous. Let's not even give that any more attention than it deserves. The AirPod, who throws an AirPod? Expensive stuff.
I know,
just out the ear and like.
This is one of them ones off Wish or something like that.
Maybe you know,
other
distracted
websites are available.
I want your man could do
a man of your what's the word I'm looking for?
Stature.
No, someone who's efficient stature. With their money, shall we say?
Right, okay.
Thrifty.
Thrifty. You wouldn't be chucking away AirPods, would you?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't have chucked my pie away. I think I would have been a
now
bit disappointed.
Now, you raise a very interesting point there, because the cost of catering inside football grounds now is going up and up and up. So somebody's bought the pie.
Me. I got a fright at Pittodrie the other night.
Oh, you
did you have to
me?
Buy a pie?
I used to think of myself as a man of the people, go to these football games, but I'm stuck in here with you all the time. It wasn't even a pie. It was a bag of sweets. I nearly had to remortgage myself to go
yeah,
and
I've
get,
seen this.
Telling you, I told you the other night, that's the putting up the prices to pay off all the managers to keep getting rid of.
There's every chance.
Aye, everything's getting inflated so they can pay off Barry Robson, probably Jim Goodwin still, Neil Warnock's next.
And my day was all macaroon bars and spearmint gum.
Spearmint chewing gum.
That's all they sold at the.
Actually, they'd come up, get your macaroon bar and your spearmint gum, get your macaroon bar. Yeah. Right?
And he tries to tell us to take his era of football seriously. Unbelievable.
Right. And you would. I don't know why.
What food?
No, macaroon.
Why would they sell in chewing gum?
Just because it was exciting and you could move your.
Oh,
head.
Chewing gum was exciting. Imagine living in your days.
Oh, because you would always go with your pal to the games and you know Fir Park, because that's where I used to go, and you would say, right, it's your turn this week for the macaroon bars and the spearmint gum.
But it was never your turn. I know that.
Exactly.
When did chewing gum come out then? You must remember.
When did
came
chewing
out?
Gum come out?
Aye.
Like, as an invention.
Aye.
Do you remember the leftovers?
I was born in the 1940s and there was chewing gum all of my life.
Was there? Right, okay.
What? This show never fails to.
Just in case it was a more recent.
The roads that we go down.
Recent thing. I do remember leftovers. I got a few. Celtic Park and that.
He's a leftover. Dad.
Bit of a poor attempt there from Cyril Dessers. It was a header from a Yilmaz cross. He really should have done better, but that tends to be the story with Dessers. He gets a lot of chances, so there's every chance that he will go on to.
He needs four chances to score one, and you know he's got enough goals on his CV at Rangers to say fair enough. Yeah. If you need four chances, fair enough, because you're scoring plenty.
Don't get me wrong. By the way, just this is not in the sitter territory or anything like that, but just to let you know, right, there was a hint of a delay or a VAR check for a penalty to St Mirren, but didn't get asked to go to the monitor, so no penalty there. If any of the injustice from the handball midweek is lingering on, Stephen Robinson will be extra frustrated, I am sure. Wasn't a vintage decision, was it?
Sounds like, no, it was a terrible decision, but the game... Today's game sounds like a decent watch for David Friel.
Do you watch it Tuesday here?
Oh, it's shocking.
Honestly, I wouldn't have let myself go to bed at midnight as a punishment for watching the second half.
That's it. You talk up Scottish football for us.
I've got to be honest. It was the worst game standard. Yep. And if yours are listening, it was ridiculous.
What about the handball decision?
Oh, that was terrible. I was terrible. I felt for St Mirren, but... It was one of those decisions that just they didn't notice it. They played on and it really. But St Mirren, the way they hit penalties, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But the second half was ridiculous.
Diomande's shown he has an eye for goal from distance. He's just robbed Blair Spittle and he's hit one goalward. It is a fairly straightforward save for Liam Kelly. 25 yards out, couldn't find the corner like he has done on two other occasions. And on we go. Still Rangers 0 Motherwell 1. That Theo Bear goal giving Stuart Kettlewell a great start. The psychology of it, Mark, because you've been on two sides. You've been there with Dundee United. You've been there as the bigger team. As a Celtic player, the Hugh Keevans, he's throwing his hands up in the air. I thought he was really annoyed at something I'd said. Then I realised that Brighton have gone a goal down. Okay, now I spot it. A bit like the game against Celtic last week, Mark. When you take the lead early, it can't be described as a bad thing, but does it almost play with your head a bit in terms of game plan? And I saw so many Motherwell fans complaining late in that game why have we decided to sit back when it's clearly not? It's not a conscious decision.
It's the worst argument. It's one I used to hate, but it's just an automatic reaction. And you've got to remember the opposition you're playing against, how good they are as players, and you know what they're trying to get out of the game. Of course they're going to take the game to you. And it gets so difficult because you're drawn towards your own goal. That's what happened to Motherwell last week when Celtic made them pay. Early on in the game just now, it's slightly different. I remember going to Ibrox with Dundee United, my first spell there, and I think we went 1-0 up within 7 minutes. Stuart Duff scored, and I honestly, I remember at this day looking at the clock thinking,
long way to go.
Wow, right, we'll not celebrate too much. But every passing 10 minutes sounds obvious. You're looking at the big clock going, right, okay, that's ticked off, that's it, you get to half time. But even when you're coming out for the second 45, you're just expecting an onslaught, and it's hard to get out sometimes. We managed to hold on that night. I don't know how. It was one of the, you know, the rare occasions I went there with Dundee United and won. Motherwell will be home for the same, but extremely difficult.
I'm thinking back to the first caller, Super Scoreboard, Tuesday night. He baffled you, Gordon, and the other Gordon, by trying to prove that Rangers were having a bad season and that, you know, that there was too much criticism of Celtic, and he'll be calling in at 5 o'clock if Motherwell win this game 1-0.
Well, plenty of time for things to change, but it has been a good start for Motherwell there. That goal to the good. Good start for Aberdeen. They needed it. An absolute screamer from Conor Barron. A stunning early strike. Very early. 60 odd seconds on the clock there in that one. And Dundee have the lead against Kilmarnock. Nothing between Hibs and Ross County or St Johnstone Livy either. Nothing doing in that one. So
well, I'd remind you of the teaser.
Yeah, why not?
I forgot about the teaser.
Can you name 5 current Scottish Premiership players who have represented their country at a major tournament and at the Olympic Games?
Okay, a dipping Yilmaz effort from distance saved by Liam Kelly. So Rangers trying to get themselves back on level terms. You struggling with the question today, Gordon DL? Not like you. Yeah. Oh, you're more of a who am I man though,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, really? I'll destroy that in the second half.
Right, let's see what we've got. Derek FM's given it a good go, but he's gone for Jack Butland.
Not yeah. there.
So he wasn't part of that Team GB squad, I guess.
Remember that? Anybody from Scotland getting that? No.
And they're all English, were they not? Apart from
Bale?
Giggs? Or Giggs? Something like that, yeah. And Bellamy?
Right, okay.
Something like that, I think. Actually, I went to one of the Olympic Games, but I don't think it was Team GB. It was Brazil and someone at Old Trafford.
Did you get near the Olympic Village at any time, though?
No? Well, no, I was thinking that.
Chris Kellen went with New Zealand and he loved it.
The Olympic Village, did he? What did they say they got up to?
Just
board games and stuff like that.
It was very.
It was just a good opportunity to meet like people from around the world and just get to know them, that sort of thing.
Great. Yeah. He says that it was.
Did he?
Genuinely loved it. He says it was just. It was just like.
A night out.
Aye, and yeah. Constantly. Aye, and you're just mixing with loads of different.
Mixing, right, yeah. Enough, aye. Right, okay, and we'll move on. What else have we got? Aussie boy wants to throw in Miller. I don't really know. Oh, maybe Lewis Miller, he means? No?
No.
Something that might give you a wee clue as to the direction you want to go down. Hatate Trick Hero wants to throw in Borna Barisic.
Not there.
Right, okay. Bit of a delay there. Dessers was adamant his shirt was pulled as a cross came in. But play on in the end. Spartans 1, East 5 1, Alan Troughton. Keep your guesses coming at Clyde SSB.
Well, 25 minutes in at Ibrox, you know, and Dessers was trying his luck to see if he can get a penalty. And I can imagine the crowd, the atmosphere will be cranked up a good bit because this was the last thing the Rangers fans saw as well.
Ooh, Palmerston Pep. He's one been each. Levelled up. Queen of the South 1, Stirling Albion 1, Josh McPake. On 27 minutes, I think that's 2 goals and 2 games for the new Stirling Albion signing there.
See if he goes at this rate, we're not going to see him again on a Wednesday night. I look forward to Wednesday night's my bath night.
I know it is, yeah.
And I like listening to the big guy, but it's just not happening for him just now.
And the board have all agreed to step down.
Yeah, that's right.
The Queen of the South?
Yeah. Full board, yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. So who's run the club? Marv.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll know Saki Shell, will he?
Manager.
I know
caretaker.
A director of football that's been out of the job
for a while.
I was brilliant at that one.
Get those cheap Nike boots dusted
you
off.
You still got them?
Get
I've
on
got
the grass.
Them in the back of my car.
I will get them back. They're great.
Just think you and Marvin mixing at the.
I would help them the same way.
The gym.
ushered
in the cafe.
I told
discounts.
You before, you were good at Airdrie. You went with wee Sid for the Sahara Desert to Brecon.
Sahara Sid.
Sahara Sid.
I've told you, anyway, he's moved into a new line of work. He's moved into events. It was him. He was the one that was behind the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow last week.
By the way, petition up to bring something it back. Like 4,000 to bring it back.
It's honestly like I can't stop
going.
Looking
if
at
that
it
gets brought back. I
can't stop
going.
Looking at all the stuff. And because I always, because I spend all my life in here, I keep thinking, like, could you lot create it? We said last night, there's Grandpa Joe right there.
Yeah.
In
yeah,
the corner.
Same shirt.
Hugh yeah. Keevans has actually got Grandpa Joe's shirt on.
Yeah. He's quite happy to take that mantle on.
I'm a bit confused out of you two is which one of you. It's mostly you. I don't really know where he fits in, Mark Wilson. But Gordon right. Dale, I can't decide if you are Willy Wonka,
or if you're
the, or if you, or if he's the unknown.
You know, the one with the mask on. Uncle Gordon,
have you seen the unknown?
I've never seen it, Gordon. I've no idea.
How
what
are you the only
about?
Person in the world that's unaware of this story?
He's never seen the film.
I've never seen the film.
No, but forget the film. The unknown is known in the film either. That's just popped up at the Glasgow version
oh, right,
of
okay.
this show.
The guy's obviously had a hole in his script and thought
he's just put this random character in. And he's a sort of mysterious, scary figure with
I'll
like a silver mask and long hair. Because you have said in the show before you're quite into dressing up. Not like that. Like in terms of you want to be a mascot. Remember you said that?
Yeah.
So you could be the unknown in the Willy Wonka experience.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here waiting for my big debut with the member of play.
Perfect, Grandpa. Look at Grandpa Joe there, Grandpa just quiet Joe. In the corner. Perfect for it.
Yeah, well, I am a grandpa, so I'm half the way there.
You don't like chocolate though, which is a bit problematic.
Grandpa Joe. Joe's also my Joseph is my middle name.
Very, so, look at that. Yeah. It's
fits sorted. Perfectly.
Although bear in mind, look, by the looks of the Glasgow show, the kids don't get chocolate anyway, so
no,
I think you'll be
no.
fine.
You'll be limited refreshments fine. They got, didn't they? A wee quarter cup of limeade or something.
Somebody
like that.
Let's send producer Michael out to the shop, see if we can get you the unknown outfit and we'll get you to
yeah,
audition.
Got hair, silver hair.
Give you a look at it.
And you've got the.
You want to see the unknown?
The creepiness.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Let's see if I'm going to play my part.
Pops it from behind the mirror. And I'm sure you've done that. I'm sure you've told me you've done that before a few times.
Yeah, I like a wee look in the mirror.
There we go. No, you got that in your locker?
It just pops it.
And you have to act quite like scary and mysterious.
Yeah, quite like that.
You've
yeah.
got that, do you?
Yeah, I think I can handle that.
Right, good.
We need to get it back.
Need a
if
lot
it
of
gets
makeup.
Back, we'll get along. Me and you'll go along.
But to Willy Wonka.
So you're unaware of this full thing. Have you ever seen the Netflix documentary The Fire Festival?
Yes.
Think probably. Of this as being like Glasgow's answer to the Fire Festival. Right.
With kids chucked in just for extra disappointment.
With kids' tears thrown in. Just as like a yeah, an extra bonus.
So it's not the best, is that what you're trying?
It wasn't what it was advertised to be,
okay.
basically.
Right.
I'm surprised this is. Honestly, it's genuinely made like headlines in America and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well. I've
my two youngest grandchildren are raging because they weren't taken to it. It's a badge of honour to have been there.
Aye. That's it. People are now trying to get involved and go back.
Yeah,
and
get
it. So it can't be that bad if people.
No, but that's the thing. It was bad. But it's like ironic.
How much is it to get?
It was 35 quid. That's what? The point. That's the point. That's the story. Where have you been this
35
week?
35 quid.
Well,
I better watch what I'm saying. I'll be taking off air.
You'll be trying to get freebies to that, I'm sure. Right, no more goals to tell you about at the moment. Just double checking. No, I don't think so. Oh, Matthew's got a good idea. He says, surely your perma orange tan makes you an Oompa Loompa. From your no, you. He's talking about
me?
You, Mark Wilson.
He's not. He's I'll give it to you.
Matthew's right. Your sports scene makeup.
Oh, for sports scene.
By the way,
can I?
You're the Oompa Loompa. You're the unknown. You're Grandpa Joe. And
I like that.
I don't know. We'll find a Willy Wonka out the rest of the cast.
My makeup. Yeah, I had a.
You've not been invited back onto sports scene.
No,
since
not
that makeup
that.
Incident.
Not that. That's what happens when you get handed a bag of makeup. You've never done it in your life.
They said his punditry was good, but that face cannot go on TV
face
again.
Was two tone.
Because I tuned in actually on. Would that have been Wednesday? No, Sunday night to sports scene.
Oh mate.
And I heard that you. I heard you on co-commentary. So that makes sense because you don't get to see your face.
Keep me off camera
at that point. Right. Okay.
That's not your gig.
Co-coms.
Oh, you were terrible. Oh my god.
Feedback
I'm getting. I'm giving you good feedback.
I thought you were alright.
Feedback I'm getting is positive.
As a friend,
all positive.
Do not put yourself in that position.
Yeah, I thought you were fine.
I'll be covering the big one soon. Don't worry. Tune in tomorrow night. Again.
Back on.
I'm back.
Are you back tomorrow?
Are you?
I'm back.
For
exactly.
A Hearts Celtic game?
Well, yes, I'll be there.
And what are you doing?
Just what we've been speaking about, co-coms.
Yeah, for the last 5 minutes.
Oh my
god. Thanks for listening.
I'm not watching that.
Ibrox not happy, or most of it. Dan Casey slides in, does win the ball, but catches McCausland on the follow through, which, as we know, is problematic. But no free kick given, looked a sore one. And
sounds like the crowd are getting tetchy, as they would.
But one thing for sure, more a reaction to that challenge than anything.
If it stays the same, come on, we'll change it at half time. Yeah. I don't think there's, you know, any doubt about that. The way he goes about his business. By the way, if things were that bad and they were playing poorly, he would change it even before half time. He's a manager that doesn't hang about.
Yeah, I don't think it's a particularly bad performance yet. They just happen to be behind. Oh, Hugh Keevans, the sigh that you heard there was Fulham going 2-0 up against Brighton.
You see, De Zerbi and his spiky hair are annoying me now. I think it's time for the chop.
Well, his hair or him?
Yeah. Him.
Him.
The results
him.
Are not.
Him.
Oh.
Behave.
He's been.
There's a man that doesn't hang about Hugh Keevans.
Get him out.
Do you know who else is not hanging about? The Ackies, and they've been getting a lot of stick recently, but Kelty nil, Hamilton Ackies 3. Akeem Rose on 32 minutes, a flying start there. The problem is, they ain't catching Falkirk, are they?
No. Not a chance now. I think disappointment was that last week through the week as well.
That's going to be the earliest league win in Scotland this season, isn't it? But by some distance, you'd
have
to say.
When can they win it? How many games?
Oh, it's a bit early to forecast that exactly, but what were they, 14 cleared going into today? Is it more than that? Anyway, Montrose 1, Alloa 1, Taylor Stephen with the goal on 32 minutes as Ross McCausland walks off gingerly at Ibrox.
Not going well.
Is that another one of those? And is that another one of those words? Does anyone ever walk gingerly apart from on a football pitch when they've just received a heavy tackle?
Exactly.
Do you not see anyone walking down the street? Do you say, look at, he's walking gingerly?
And what is the meaning behind it? Gingerly?
Yeah. Bubbling type thing.
But why gingerly?
I don't know, mate.
As if he's going to know. Ginger. I know. I don't know why I'm asking. I'm looking at you.
I know.
You're going to impart some wisdom on me.
The problem is, you're thinking you're going to get an answer and it's just not coming.
Chiefly with reference to walking or dancing with small, elegant steps. Elegantly, daintily, but not like to walk, to be cautious or careful. Just because you expect it to be dangerous, unpleasant, doesn't see where it's coming from, though, I'm afraid.
Okay. I've learned nothing there.
Everybody's a school day in here.
Yeah.
An approved school day.
Yeah, it does come from just meaning delicately or elegantly, so it's maybe just been twisted a little bit over the years. Fabio Silva's getting ready, Ross McCausland gingerly makes his way to the dressing room straight away.
More importantly, Fabio Silva off a side then, which when I saw him at first I thought number 9, not so sure. I thought he was more a 10 or off a side, but he's done okay in the number 9 role.
He's been good.
Yeah. So
it was interesting that we had that Rangers fan last night saying cup final tomorrow. If there was a cup final tomorrow, Desser's definitely the man to lead the line, not Fabio Silva.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think he's a better option as a number 9, but Silva's a good player. I like Silva. I think when he gets it deep, he's got good feet. He can go up players, he can go by players. He'll get you the odd goal. But if you're looking for a box player, and I know the Q's saying that many chances that Desser's missed, but what I like about it is he's there to miss the chances.
The Morton run in serious danger now. They're 15 undefeated. Now they're 2 down to Cali Thistle.
Yeah. See, tell you, we do aim to educate. Chris Watson's just sent me a message to say because of Ginger Rogers dancing.
Yeah.
And Chris has ginger hair, so he would be an expert on this, perhaps.
Of course.
Fred Astaire, you would have Ginger to think. Rogers.
That's so,
and that's where the word or the term.
No.
And his ginger hair doesn't get him
pretty
confident.
Me. And Andy, the photo doctor, has done us a real turn here. We've got a mock up of Grandpa Shug. There we are. That's you straight into the Willy Wonka experience. That's not even that's not a Photoshop. That's just you waking up this morning.
We're a bit longer here.
That's magnificent.
That's you. Actually, you're looking very good there.
What are you trying to say? He's not looking good in the
skin complexion looks better there. AI-generated.
He doesn't drink red wine through that screen, that's the problem.
Mandron's had a header wide, by the way, for St Mirren, should have scored. Silva's playing off the left for Rangers. How did the red wine go down last night? We said Friday night it was the big Clyde One staff night out for the 50th anniversary of this proud institution.
The perfect night out. Lovely three-courser. Bottle of red. Callum Beattie was terrific. And a son-in-law came and picked me up.
He nights out very efficiently, this guy. Because we were on the show last night. We got there at 8:30. I saw him walk out the room at 10:20. He does not hang around.
That's the way he does.
He sees how much red wine. Please drink responsibly.
And not a penny spent.
Not even
a taxi home.
You can't ask for much better than that.
If you pay for their weddings, if you pay for their weddings, they are beholden to you.
My favourite part of it was his dessert. Right, you know he's fussy. Yeah. Right, you know he eats like a child in some ways. Sticky toffee pudding and ice cream comes, and he turns his nose up at it. He says to the waitress, Can I just have ice cream, please? So she goes away and comes back with a bowl with four scoops of ice cream in it. Would have been enough to fill the full table. He took a couple of wee spoonfuls, sent it on its way, and hadn't seen her face when she came back.
I saw you send that back. I thought it was too much for him.
He said,
I didn't know that. Four big scoops.
I must admit,
who needs four scoops? Yeah. At an event like that.
After he rejected the first sticky toffee, he got another sticky toffee in front of him.
That's because I ate it.
Oh, did you eat that? Did he?
In. Of course.
He wouldn't have sent
the red back, that's for sure.
No, he absolutely did not. We've got one of these to tell you about. Where is it, though? Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. It's an equaliser for Kilmarnock. It was Vassell was involved. Watkins was there. Who got the final touch? I think it might have been Marley Watkins with 35 minutes on the clock. Dundee 1, Kilmarnock 1.
Well, order is restored. It's now a fight for Dundee. I didn't get the impression that Kilmarnock would spend too long a goal behind. So another good watch there for Marley Watkins' equaliser.
Was it one of those? Was it this fixture earlier in the season? I think it was, where Derek McInnes got a red card
for the ball or something.
He didn't think he was on the pitch. I'm not even sure if he definitely was, but the referee didn't like it. Remember, it was a ball up the line.
I can't recall that.
Yeah. So it was a ball up the line, and he, from his technical area, like kicked it or stopped it. He thought it had gone out of play.
He came on the pitch, didn't he?
There's a Celtic loanee that I wonder if we need to keep an eye on, because he seems to be doing good things down at Charlie Adams Fleetwood, Bossen Lawal. He's, sort of pigeonholed as a central defender up here. He's gone to Fleetwood. He seems to be playing in midfield. He's chipping in with some goals. Yep. He's getting a lot of good feedback. There's our big goal in the Premiership. I know it's not one of our featured games, but I'm giving it this. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. St Johnston 0, Livingston 1. Andrew Shinney. Everybody says Livy are gone anyway, but they might as well keep fighting away. And maybe they're not. Maybe there is life left in there.
Well, the last two defeats this week alone would be enough to deflate anybody. And then you have to go to McDermott Park, where Craig Levein is getting a bit of a tune after their win at Pittodrie. So to go in the lead takes a lot of character. But it's hanging on. Can they hang on? Now, if they win that, up to 19 points, just four behind Ross County.
But Ross County, they were game in hand.
Yeah, but they're still clawing away, but I don't think it'll be enough.
No, I don't think they've got enough. I don't even think they've got enough to hold on this afternoon. I think St Johnstone will come back into that game.
That's the life of those clubs, isn't it? About how inconsistent you can be. If St Johnstone don't, they were pretty good at Pittodrie the other night, and the front two caused a lot of problems. I'm trying to get that to happen on a consistent basis.
Consistency is a key word there, Gordon, because you look at a lot of clubs and they've not got the consistency anyway, they need.
Is it a big goal or is it too little too late in the context of today? In the context of the season. But anyway, Andrew Shinney scored. We'll give that time to find out which level of significance it carries between now and the end of the season. I want Gianni Infantino to give Conor Barron a special mention at the next FIFA Congress, because I'm sure he's seen quite a few good goals in his time, but this one from Conor Barron,
special.
Very, very good. Apparently learned it In his loan spell at Brechin.
Yep.
That's what they're saying.
You liked him, didn't you? Part.
Oh, I've more than liked him. And everybody I speak to, even after my time at Brechin, who had him, wonderful player. But he won't be at Pittodrie next year, will he? Because he's
contract's up,
and that doesn't look like he's signing there. So wonder where he'll go. You know, I don't think he'll stay in Scotland. I think he'll be off down south.
Let's go. One quick reminder of the teaser and we'll wrap up the answers. This is your 2 minute warning. If you've not got your correct answers in, listen carefully.
Can you name five current Scottish Premiership players who have represented their country at a major tournament and at the Olympics?
Mary Lou, I think that says, 1987, wants to throw in Alistair Johnson.
No.
Martin Boyle.
No.
Hatati wants to throw in Cameron Carter-Vickers.
No.
Okay, keep your guesses coming.
Nice divink there as I was writing.
Oh, weird.
Jack, sure. I see Jack's thinking he's gone Junior Hoylett.
Mm.
No?
Has he played yet?
Yeah, he's come on a couple of times. Yeah. Came on midweek for Aberdeen. The only clue I'll give you, you've only got a couple of minutes left, of the five answers, there are only two nationalities covered here. So, there we are. Andy the photo doctor next up. He's giving you the Oompa Loompa treatment, Mark Wilson. You'll be getting straight cast into the next Willy Wonka
experience.
I quite
like that. I look a bit like the Hugh Grant in the new Wonka film. Yeah. He plays the Oompa Loompa in that one. You've seen that one, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I believe that.
Green hair.
I've seen worse photoshops being sent into this show about me.
I've got to say, I don't like looking at photos. I don't take a good photo.
But you think because your face,
you're stunning in real life, but it just doesn't come across in photos.
I've got a lot of people coming up to me and saying, "My goodness,
well, is that what you look like?"
I'm glad I said goodness. You look stunning in real life, but you don't take a good photo. I've had a pound for every time that come out of people's mouth. I was in Asda yesterday, and a young female come up to me and said that. You're stunning looking elderly man, she said.
What are you on about? Seriously? The lie just starts and it just snowballs. And it's like we just hear whatever his internal thought process is, not realising he's broadcasting to many thousands of people.
You must play that out in your mind before you spout that out.
I'm now at the stage I can't tell the truth in anything.
I know. We know that.
We'll find out now that Aberdeen didn't travel by bus today.
There was a VAR review for a claim. Commandment thought they were going to get a penalty after a short corner, but not given there. So it stays 1-1. Dundee 1, Kilmarnock 1, Rangers 0, Motherwell 1. Theo Bear with the goal. St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 1, thanks to Conor Barron's very early wonder strike. Hibs 0, Ross County 0, St Johnston 0, Livingston 1.
This is when all Celtic fans who have dogs take them out for a walk stay away from this programme, the telly, everything, and just hope that Mother will hang on until 5 o'clock.
Yeah, there's a long way to go, I have to say. There's a name from the past, even though he's still very young, Karamoko Dembele. Remember him scoring for Blackpool away at Shrewsbury just before half time.
Well, Mother will have got a name now. Get to half time. Get in at half time, 1-0. Then first 15 of the second half. And then start looking at that clock Mark was talking about.
Is that a cause for concern though for Clermont? I know Rangers are playing well and everything's positive, but that's two games on the bounce. Lost the first goal. One at home, one away. You don't want to be making a habit of that. Especially when the pressure starts building.
Two's quite a small sample though, isn't it? And one of them is, you know, you go to Rugby Park, you got to accept that there are other teams involved here. I know we sometimes think that it's all about the big team's failings, but not an easy place to go. There's a big result. I was speaking to Stephen Mill walking in today, our colleague, who's a big Dunfermline fan. Fearing the worst, but they've taken the lead against Ayr, Chris Hamilton, on 42 minutes.
Yeah, all starting maybe at that for Hill a couple of weeks ago. A couple of signings made them much better. Matty Todd back in the team, another Brechin boy back in the team. He's doing really well for
Tell
them.
Me something.
Right, I don't know what's happened. Nobody has got all
answers.
All Too answers difficult. On the teaser.
Too difficult.
There are only four. There are only five answers. There are two nationalities represented. You need four Australians and one Japanese international.
Which sport is it?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder that. We didn't tell you it was actually the badminton.
1500 metres, 800.
So four Australian internationals and one Japanese international. That's kind of what we're looking at here. Okay, we'll need to round it off. I'll tell you what, I'll give you, since it's, since the podium, since the podium's so bare, I'll give you until during the halftime break today. I'll extend it. So it's five current Scottish Premiership players. They've represented their nation at a major tournament and the Olympics. And I'm giving you a big clue. Four of them are Australian, one of them is Japanese. But of course, there are a few Japanese players in the league, and there are more than four Australians, so that's going to be the difficulty.
We're just looking for a couple of Aussies.
There are only three clubs represented within the five as well, if that's of any use whatsoever. No. Well, there's one club in particular who's got a real strong Australian connection,
yeah,
isn't there? Okay, I don't mind that. We're really desperate for people to get this right at this stage.
Name one gives an initial.
Oh my goodness. Andy, the photo doctor, has saved the best until last. Willy Wonka himself. Or he says, or is it Wonky Willy? It's you, Gordon Deal. Like we've never seen you before. That is outstanding.
That's really good.
I'll need to get that retweeted.
That's brilliant. Right, okay, Mark.
I do like, but you're doing well in that as well.
Let's get a good photo of you and then just doctor
when
me
you're
up.
Saying you've not, I think that you don't take better. A good photo.
I think Andy's, I think Andy's put a wee filter on that. I think he's brought out the blue in your eyes.
Aye,
I honestly,
I think that
your
better.
Eyes look better in that picture than they do in real
trust
life.
Me, that'll be his profile picture later on his Instagram.
In real
Instagram.
Life, they're a bit more bloodshot than that.
That's a good tune.
Nice nose as well. I like the nose.
It's smoothed out a wee bit. Reduced that.
Yeah.
Ah, he's done a great job for you there.
That'll
right.
be my profile now.
Game of the day. I didn't think you expected Montrose Alloa, did you? But it's 2-2 just before the break there. So that is a cracking game, a 4-goal thriller. Sean Dillon still going strong. This is where I tell you that Sean Dillon's not that much older than you, Mark.
Maybe young. Is he young? Oh, no, he is older. I'm pretty sure he's older.
He can't be. You're 40. Nah, yes, he's 40.
He's a fit boy, Sean.
Really half time, Ibrox, Sandra McLean.
Rangers 0, Motherwell 1, the half-time score. Theo Bear's early strike might have this crowd a bit anxious going in at the break. There was a lot of positivity around Ibrox heading into the game, but the visitors provided an early shock. Jack Vale shrugging off John Suter on the right. He was just too strong for him, then finding Theo Bear around the penalty spot. A first-time finish in off the post to put Motherwell 1-0 up. 9 goals in his last 12 games. For Theo Bear, what a record that is. Liam Kelly then called into action instantly. Nicholas Raskin's shot was straight at him though. He needed to move a bit more to keep out Mohamed Diamandi's effort from 25 yards. Rangers cranked up the pressure a wee bit after that. Red Van Yilmaz with a dipping effort. That one tipped away by Liam Kelly. Then bodies were on the line as Motherwell had to defend. The ball bouncing around the box. Ross McCausland, Cyril Dessers both having efforts, but it was kept out. Ross McCausland then forced off injured after being caught on the follow through by Dan Casey. The Rangers players not happy about the challenge. No free kick was given. McCausland went straight down the tunnel. Fabio Silva came on and forced a Liam Kelly save with a volley not long after taking to the field. Just before that, Blair Spittle had one blocked at the other end before testing Jack Butland with the rebound. But if Rangers are to get 3 points today, they're going to need to come from behind for the second game running. The half-time score at Ibrox is Rangers 0, Motherwell 1.
Half-time, Easter Road, Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, it won't be too long, this half-time report. Gordon Hibernian 0, Ross County 0. Really poor 45 minutes, to be honest. Played at the pace of a practice game. One chance at either end. Little to do for either keeper. Hibs most of the ball. No tempo to the game. And allowing County to get behind the ball. Just slow start to the game. County said cautious. Hibs with lots of the ball, but creating nothing until the 17th minute. The first effort at goal by either side. A low Maialida shot was straight at George Wickens. The keeper should have saved it comfortably, but he spilled the ball, but he got up quickly to make amends and block the rebound from Amy Marcondes. But Hibs were too slow in their build-up. County dropping off, 9 behind the ball, hitting on the break on occasion, but David Marshall nothing to do as we passed 20 minute marks, and Hibs fans understandably quiet, needing something to spark the game into life, and the spark nearly came at the other end when County almost equalised in 25 minutes. A poor pass in midfield by Marcondes was picked up by Latore 30 yards from goal. He drove forward, wasn't challenged, so he decided just to shoot from 20 yards, struck it well, and it was a good save to his right, pushed away by Marshall. But that was it, chance wise nothing else to report. Hopefully we'll see better in the second half, but it couldn't be any worse, to be honest. County will be pretty happy, they've been comfortable at the back. Hibs need to come out and start the second half all guns blazing. Well, the crowd have been really patient so far, and behind their team, they might turn against them. Half time, Easter Road, Hibernian 0, Ross County 0.
Okay, where is the next half time whistle to go? I think it was at the Smyzer Stadium. David Friel. Ooh, technology sounds a bit ropey there. We'll try and get David to clear that up for us. Let's go to Dave Galloway if it is half time in that one. No, not yet, actually. Dave Galloway's still a little bit behind, I think. Bit of a longer end to the half. Dundee against Kilmarnock. David Friel, can you hear us now?
Yeah, half time gone. St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 1. I tell you what, Gianni Infantino has picked a cracking game to take in. Aberdeen lead at the break, but this has been non-stop entertainment. The FIFA president was in his seat early. He's next to Ian Maxwell, Mike Moreno from the SFA, and just as well he was early, because Conor Barn fired Aberdeen ahead after just 62 seconds. What a goal it was. Duke created it, storming run down the right, fired in across. It was cleared out to Barn, probably 30 yards out, took a touch right into the top corner with his shot. What a stunner it was. Aberdeen fans went crazy. Really could tell that Aberdeen got a lift from it. On the pitch, they're competing far better. Duke was having a really good game, but St Mirren did settle and certainly had the best the last 25 minutes of the half. They probably feel they should have equalised by now. Greg Kilty had a header save. Kyle Roos then tipped a volley onto the bar from Lewis Jameson. Michael Mandron had an even better chance when he broke free in the box.
Ah, we've lost him. I think we got the gist of it. Let's see if we can go to Dens Park. Yes, we can, Dave Galloway.
Half time, Dundee 1, Kilmarnock 1. There was no sign of a Dundee hangover from their hammering by Celtic on Wednesday night, as they made an impressive start. Josh Mulligan's deflected drive from the edge of the box was turned around the post by Will Dennis, and they took the leads, deservedly so, after 11 minutes. A good run down the left by Scott Tiffany. He cut inside, and his drive hit the post, then Dennis, and in for an OG. Kilmarnock were posing very little threat at this stage against their dominant host. Danny Armstrong's free kick from the touchline troubled John McCracken, but the danger was cleared. However, the visitors turned the game on its head by equalising after 35 minutes. Armstrong's cross was headed back across goal by Joe Wright. Marley Watkins forced the ball in from point blank range. That saw them really pick things up, and Danny Armstrong's free kick was turned over by John McCracken, and from the resulting corner they had a possible penalty turned down following a VAR review. Dundee certainly started this one the stronger, but Kilmarnock definitely finished it the stronger. Half time, it's all to play for. Dundee 1, Kilmarnock 1.
That's us. It's also half time. St Johnstone 0, Livingston 1. Andrew Shinney with the goal there. But we'll do a full round up of the half time scores, and I'll give you the answers and the winners to that first half teaser, Nick.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Halftime scores from the Scottish Premiership: Dundee 1, Kilmarnock 1, Hibs 0, Ross County 0, Rangers 0, Motherwell 1, St Johnstone 0, Livingston 1, and St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 1. In the Championship, Airdrie 0, Queen's Park 1, Dunfermline 2, Ayr United 0, Morton 0, Inverness 2, Partick Thistle 1, Dundee United 0. In League 1, Edinburgh City 0, Cove Rangers 1, Falkirk 0, Annan 0, Kelty Hearts 0, Hamilton Accies 3, Montrose 2, Alloa 2, and Queen of the South 1, Stirling Albion 1. In League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 0, Stenhouse Muir 0, Clyde 0, Elgin City 1, Dumbarton 0, Peterhead 0, Stranraer 0, Forfar 0, and Spartans 1, East Fife 1. Finally, the English Premier League. It is Brentford 0, Chelsea 1, Everton 0, West Ham 0, Fulham 2, Brighton 0, Newcastle 2, Wolves 0, Forest 0, Liverpool 0, and Spurs 0, Crystal Palace 0. Let me give you the answers, because we gave you a little bit extra time this afternoon. It was proving very difficult, but let's find out if we got anywhere on this.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The five current Scottish Premiership players who have represented their country at a major tournament and at the Olympics are Daizen Maeda from Celtic, who played for Japan at the World Cup in 2022 and in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Cammy Devlin of Hearts, Australia in the World Cup in 2022 and also the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Kai Rowles, Hearts, Australia at the World Cup and the Tokyo Olympics. Keanu Backus, St Mirren, Australia, World Cup 2022, 2020 Olympics. And finally, Nathaniel Atkinson, Hearts, for Australia at the World Cup in 2022 and at the 2020 Olympics.
I think only one person got it right. So the third place space on the podium is empty. So is the second place. But the top spot's been taken by Derek FM. It took him a few guesses, a few attempts, but he got there in the end. Well done to Derek. We'll get the second halves next.